This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to our respected non-Muslim guests, friends, neighbors, we ask of Almighty God that He provide you with guidance here or after here. I'm very grateful and very honored to be invited by this noble foundation, and I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the success, for the work that has been endeavored. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have the future association with such foundations. I'm also here tonight and feeling very honored to have this opportunity to address you on this topic. And I'd like to say that this is not a lecture, and I'm certainly not a preacher. If someone wants to refer to myself or other speakers about Islam or presenters about Islam, if they want to call us preachers, which is a familiar terminology in the Western world, we will accept that, but that is not exactly correct. We are presenters of Islam. We're not merely preachers, just objectively just talking about Islam. We are presenting Islam to the best of our ability through our behavior. We are presenting Islam through the evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah. And we are inviting towards Islam in the best ways, using the best resources that we have available to us. And this is not a lecture. I'm not prepared to lecture. And if there is one non-Muslim in this audience, I want to make it clear that this presentation is for you. We have a saying in English in the church that the minister, he doesn't need to preach to the choir. The choir is already there. They already believe what he's saying. But the message is for the visitor. And if there is a disappointment that I have with Muslims who have the knowledge, who have the resources, it is that they don't realize that in a country like this, and in this collection, in this cluster of countries like the UAE, you may have over 2 million non-Muslim workers who are sitting at your left and right, whom you are eating with, dealing with, who they work in your homes or in your factories or your offices. You also probably have 30 million non-Muslims passing through a country like Dubai. And why is it with such a beautiful religion, a beautiful system of life, with all the resources that we have available for us, why is it difficult that when you and I come to a place like this with the theme that we have, why is it that you came alone? Why weren't you able to bring a colleague, a co-worker, a neighbor, a friend, a non-Muslim? Why were you not able to convince them? Why couldn't you bribe them? Why couldn't you drive them here? Why couldn't you give them 100 dirhams to come here? But lecture after lecture, year after year, Muslims are organizing lectures all over the world, and they are coming by themselves with their family members. That's like my wife and myself preparing a dinner, and we invited all the neighbors, but my family members, they got there first and they ate all the food. So if there's a non-Muslim here, if there's one or two or three or whatever many of non-Muslims, this presentation is for you. Because I'm not here to entertain the Muslims. I'm not Michael Jackson, I don't have any white gloves. And we Muslims, we are not part of the popular culture where we put up banners and words and slogans and we invite the Muslims to come there to see popular speakers. We have to have an objective for what we are doing. This is a part of our niyyah, and this is a part of the sign of our ikhlas. And this is one of the reasons how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. So I'd like to know, are there any non-Muslims in the audience? If you do, can you raise your hand, please? One. Two. Then, if you don't mind, come forward so I can see you, please. Please take the best seat right here. Please, brother, please come and sit in the seat here. Because this presentation is for you. Whatever money that it costs, it's for you. Whatever organization that has been done, it has been done for you. And therefore, the best seat in the house should be reserved for those whom the lecture it was done for. And I'd like you to be there so that from time to time I can look directly at you. As I mentioned, I'm not prepared to lecture, but what I have prepared is sort of an advice even for myself. Because I can remember that I was sitting in a chair just like you a few days ago, a few years ago, just a little while ago. I was sitting right there where you are, a Christian, a non-Muslim, whatever nationality, it doesn't matter. A human being that at that time was not aware of Islam. And at that particular time, I didn't really understand what was the purpose of life. So with that note, I would request you to think of what I am saying to you as a sort of information, some advice, not as a lecture. The information I want to share with you may seem to be a bit extensive, but when you consider the capacity of the human brain and the amount of information that it can store and that it is able to decipher, then a few pages of information tonight, I'm sure it will not overburden you. It is my responsibility to address the topic of our discussion tonight: what is the purpose of our life? I'm honored to have this opportunity, and I would like to begin by saying that all of you have an equal responsibility, and that responsibility is to listen with an open heart and an open mind, because hearts and minds that are open are like a glass that is sitting this way. But hearts and minds that are already subjective and closed and restricted and prejudiced, it's like a glass that's upside down. If you pour something on it, it will never get filled. In a world filled of prejudice and cultural conditioning, It is very hard to find people that are able to take a moment like yourselves to think about life objectively and to try to arrive at truth. Truth about this world and the real purpose of our lives. Unfortunately, when you ask most people the question, what is the purpose of our life? Such an important question. They won't tell you what they have concluded from observation or analytical reasoning because in most cases, we haven't thought about it. Rather, in most cases, they will simply tell you what someone else said, or they will tell you what is commonly presumed. What my father said the purpose of life is, what the minister of my church said the purpose of life is, what my teacher in school said, what my friend said. But if I ask anyone, what's the purpose of eating? Why do we eat? They will say, in one way or another, it's because we need nutrition to live. It sustains our life. If I ask anyone why they work, they will say, it's obvious, because it is a necessity in order to support myself and to provide the needs of my family. And if I ask people why they sleep, why they wash, why they dress, etc., they will answer, these are well known. This is a common necessity for all human beings. We can follow this same line of questioning with 100 questions and receive same or similar answers from anyone in any language, in any place, in any time of the world. Then I ask you, why is it that when we ask the question, what is the goal and purpose of life? Why do we get so many answers? Why do people have to scratch their heads and think about it? It is because people are confused. They don't really know. They are stumbling in the dark. And rather than to honestly say, I don't know, they just offer any answer that they have been programmed to give. Well, I want you to think about it tonight. Is our purpose in this world simply to eat, sleep, dress, work, acquire some material things, and enjoy ourselves? Is this the whole purpose of life? Why were we born? And what is the object of our existence, and what is the wisdom behind this creation of man and this tremendous universe? Think about that question. Now, some people argue that there's no proof of any divine origin, that there's no proof that there's a God, and that there's no proof that this universe has come about through any divine purpose. And some people, they argue this way, and they say that perhaps the world came about by chance. And they say that human beings, they evolved from monkeys. Excuse me, Mr. Darwin. But I never saw a monkey cry. I never saw a monkey build up a rocket ship. I never saw a monkey fly a plane. So if we have evolved from monkeys, monkeys should still be evolving. And human beings should still be evolving. And if we evolved from monkeys, monkeys should have the same sentiments. They should have the same capacity. They should have the same emotions. But monkeys do not have sentiment, and they do not have emotions, and they don't have the capacity to think. They act on instinct like all other primates. But human beings are able to cry, and human beings are able to laugh, and human beings are able to feel sadness, and human beings are able to feel joy because they have a mind and they have sentiment that is synchronized. Excuse me, Mr. Darwin. There are people who argue this way, and they say that perhaps this world came about by chance. Well, I want to discuss this whole idea of chance. They argue that life doesn't have any definite purpose. There's nothing that can be proven either by logic or science that there is a God, there is a purpose, or any divine reason behind this world. Here, I would like to mention a few verses of the Quran. And there are probably people in this room who could recite this verse better than myself. But as a Muslim, most of us, we know this verse. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم يتفقهون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. Let me translate. We seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every evil thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, Most High, mentions to us in the Quran that to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and that Allah has power over everything. And He says, behold, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and the day, there are indeed signs for people of understanding. Human beings who celebrate the praises of Almighty God, standing, sitting, lying down on their sides as they contemplate the wonders of the creation of the heavens and the earth with the thought, our Lord, our Sustainer, not for any foolish, random purpose, has Thou created all of this. Glory be to Thee. Give us salvation from the penalty of the hellfire. Now, here in these verses, Almighty Allah, the Creator, your Creator and mine, has mentioned very clearly to us by first drawing our attention to the creation of ourselves, the different postures of the human body, the different attitudes of the human psychology. He draws our attention to the heavens, the alternation of the night and the day, the firmament, the stars, the constellations. And then He says to us that He has not created this, He has not designed all of this here for any foolish or random purpose. When you consider the heavenly bodies, you know that the design of it is beyond human capacity and beyond our own calculation and imagination. It cannot be random, or it cannot be without purpose, because we can see that it has been designed. If it has been designed, like you and I would design something for a purpose, then Almighty God has designed all of this for what? A purpose. It certainly cannot be just thrown together. For instance, if I took or you took 10 marbles and we marked them 1 to 10, different colored marbles, and we marked them 1 to 10. We put them inside of a bag, and we shook that bag up, and without looking inside the bag, see how many times you would have to go inside that bag if you wanted to bring out marble number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all in a row. Do you know how many chances that would take? Marbles in one bag and reaching inside without looking, do you know the chances of bringing them out in order? The chances, mathematically, are 36 million to 1. Therefore, what about the heavens? What about our solar system? Our solar system has 9 planets. And our solar system is only one system inside of the Milky Way. Because our sun is one of the smallest stars in the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is one of millions of galaxies. And our galaxy is one of millions of galaxies that form the cluster of a nebula. But yet our Earth has an organized environment. And our solar system is an organized solar system. And our galaxy is an organized galaxy. And the cluster of galaxies are also organized. And if we could see further than that, we'll see organization, micro and macro organization. That is all by what? It's all by design. My dear respected brothers and sisters, we have to ask ourselves a further question. When you see a bridge, a building, or an automobile, you automatically consider the person or the company that has constructed it, like the beautiful buildings that we see in this country. When you see an airplane, a rocket, a satellite, a large ship, you also think of how incredible a vehicle that it is. When you see a nuclear plant or an orbiting space station, a super international airport like which exists here in this country, you have to be thoroughly impressed with the engineering dynamics that are involved. Yet these are only things that are manufactured by human beings who have limited minds. Then what about the human body with its massive and intricate control systems? Think about it. Think about the brain, how it thinks, how it functions, how it analyzes, how it stores information, how it retrieves information, how it distinguishes and categorizes information in a millionth of a second, just like that. And it does that constantly. Think about the brain for a moment. This is the brain that made the automobile, the rocket ships, the boats, the so on. This is the brain. Who made that brain? Think about the heart, how it pumps continuously for 60 or 70 years without missing a beat. How many of you are controlling the beating of your hearts right now? Who's controlling your lungs going in and out right now? Who's controlling your pulse? Who's controlling even the blinking of your eyes? Who's controlling your kidneys and its function? Who's controlling? Who designed that? This is being done by your body without your even asking for that. Think about that. What about the kidneys? What kind of function do they carry? The purifying instrument of the body that performs hundreds of chemical and analysis simultaneously and also controls the toxicity on the content of the body, and it does this automatically. Think about your eyes, the human camera that adjusts, focus, interrupts, evaluates, applies color automatically, the natural reception and adjustment to light and distance automatically. Think about that. Who created that? Who mastered that? Who designed that? Who plans that and who regulates that? The human beings themselves? Absolutely not. Then what about this universe? Think about this Earth, one planet in our solar system, and our solar system is one of the systems in the Milky Way, and the Milky Way is one of the constellations in that galaxy, and there are millions of galaxies like the Milky Way. Think about that. And they are all in order, and they are all precise. They are not colliding. They're not conflicting. They're not conflicting with each other, and they are just swimming along, as the Quran says. إِذَا مُسْتَقَرِدْ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. They are swimming in an orbit that has been determined for them previously. Have human beings set this into motion? And are human beings maintaining that precision? No, of course not. Think about the oceans and the fish and the insect and the birds, the plants and the bacteria, the chemical elements that have not been discovered and cannot even be detected with the most sophisticated instruments, yet each of them has a law and an instinct that they follow. Did all of this synchronization, balance, harmony, variation, design, maintenance, operation, and infinite numeration, did this happen by chance or did it happen by design? And also, do these things function perpetually and perfectly by chance or by design? And do they keep on reproducing themselves and maintaining themselves by chance or by design. No, to say they have come about by chance, and that we came into existence by chance, and that our lives are based upon chance, that would be illogical. That would be foolish, and that would be an act of denial. And actually, you know, the word denial, it doesn't mean a river in Egypt. At the least, it would indicate that however we came to be, that however this world came to be, it is totally outside of the realm of human consciousness and outside of the realm of human capability. We would all agree to that. So if it is outside the realm of human capability and consciousness, yet it is designed, it had to be designed by a supreme designer. That being, that almighty power, God, your creator and my creator, who has the knowledge to design, to proportion, who has given all of this and is responsible for maintaining all of this, is the only one that is deserving praise, recognition, and gratitude. That is praise, recognition, and gratitude. If I gave each one of you sitting here today 100 dirhams just for coming here tonight, would you say thank you? Of course you would. I'm not going to give it to you, though. But you would be thankful. So therefore, what about your eyes? What about your kidneys? What about your brain? What about your life, your breath, your children? What about that? Who gave that to you? Is the one who gave that to you, the benefactor that gave you life, is he not worthy of praise? Should not we be grateful and thank Almighty God? Is that God, your creator and mine, is that God not worthy of your recognition, your worship, and your gratitude? My brothers, that in the nutshell is the purpose of life. To be grateful, to recognize, and also to worship. And worship basically means give to Almighty God the due which is due. For instance, if you live in someone's house and you sign a contract called a lease, isn't that landlord? Isn't they due you to pay that? Yes, of course. You pay it as a tribute. You sign a contract and you pay that rent religiously. Because you know if you don't pay it, you will be on the outside, on the street. What if Almighty God, your creator, my creator, if he ordered us to pay rent for our bodies? You rent cars, you rent phones, you rent houses, and you pay for it religiously, and when that rent comes up and they send you a notice, you are very frantic to go and pay it so that your lights don't get cut off. You are very frantic to pay it so you don't get put out. You're very frantic to pay it, but you have been given a body. Your soul, your person is inside of a body, and you are using that body to house you. But you don't pay anything for it. Even you don't want to say, thank you, God. Even you don't want to recognize God. And you don't want to pay Almighty God for what he has given you. Not that God needs your pay, because God is rich. He is ghani. He is beyond the need of anyone giving something to him, because he's the owner of everything. So Almighty God said in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتَ الْجِنِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Verily, I have not created the men, مَا خَلَقْتَ الْجِنِ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except for the worshipping, the recognition, and gratitude towards me. So Almighty God, our Creator, he has made all of us. Presently in this world, over 6 billion human beings. And since human beings came and were arrived on this planet, he created all of them with the same design. For what purpose? That they would be grateful. That they would recognize that Almighty God is one. And that they will be grateful to Almighty God. And that through their conduct and through their behavior towards God, and through their conduct and their behavior towards one another, this would be a form of worship. This is what Almighty God said. So our purpose in this life is to recognize the Creator, to be grateful to that Creator, to worship that Creator, to surrender ourselves to that Creator, to obey the laws that that Creator has determined for us. So it means worship. This is our purpose in life. And whatever we do in the course of this worship, that system, the eating, the drinking, the dressing, the working, the enjoying between the life and the death, all of this is just consequential. For we have been created for worship. And that is the purpose of our lives. I don't think that anyone who is scientific, analytical, or dialectical should have any argument about that purpose. They may have some other complications inside of their personal lives. They may have some other motivations inside of their hearts. But that is a set of dynamics they will have to reconcile within their own consciousness. And on the day when everyone will be judged, and we know that there has to be a time that we will all be judged. There has to be a time. For nobody goes to school without the anticipation of a test. Nobody goes to work without the anticipation of getting paid. This is a part of life. So if that Creator has designed us and made us and given us this, and we are beneficiaries of all of this, it means at the end, there has to be a test. There has to be a judgment. And that's why we are concerned with this question: what is the purpose of life? Now, some non-Muslims may ask the question, what is Islam and who are the Muslims? Islam is that system of faith. And one scholar or one poet, he said it like this: Al-Islamu istislam lillahi bit-tawheed. والانقياد له بالطاعة ورد الشرك والكفر وأهله. So I'll translate. He said Islam is that system of submitting to Almighty God, to the obvious principle that there is a Creator. According to the strict principle of monotheism, that means that God is only one. Not five, not 500, not half of something, not something at all, not a part of something, but the owner of all things. So monotheism, like Abraham. Well, inqiyadu lahu, and surrendering to him, being helpless to him, and submitting oneself to him, and being obedient to God and what he has ordered us in Scripture. And rejecting all types of polytheism, and rejecting all kinds of disobedience and disbelief, and all of the branches that are attached to that. These young men that are sitting in front of me, I'd like to know their names. What's your name, sir?
George.
George. And your name, sir?
Alan.
Alan? Hello. MashaAllah. And your name, sir?
Boyd.
Lloyd.
William.
MashaAllah. And is there another non-Muslim? MashaAllah. So look, you four gentlemen, you found your way here. This means you are responsible. Maybe you were invited here by a Muslim friend. Maybe you have read something about Islam before. I would like to ask you, how many of you would be willing to say that you witness that we have to have one Creator? that there is one creator. George, do you witness that? Alan? Boyd? Lloyd? William. And I'm sorry. Terendo. Do you recognize there is one creator? One creator, yes. Have any of you read something about Islam? Have you read the Quran? Do you know anything about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him? You have? Okay. If you have thought about Islam as a system of life, and if you've read something about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as a prophet, as a messenger, as a pattern of conduct, and if you have considered the principles of Islam as a system, would any one of you consider to accept Islam? Whichever one of you would like to consider accepting Islam, please just stand up. Allahu Akbar. Actually, bring the brother here, if you please. Bring the brother. Now, George, Allo, and Turin, the words I'm going to say with brother William, and by the way, my father's name was William. The words I will say to him, if you accept those words, then you also can just stand and come. And to become a Muslim is not like some kind of, it's not some kind of, we call it like a, there's no special procedure. There's no ceremony. It is just two statements that resonates in your mind and inside your heart. And once you accept that statement, no, he can stand right there. Thank you. There's two more non-Muslims behind George. Why don't they come here and sit so I can see them, please? Let them come. Thank you very much. If there's any non-Muslim here that like to come here and join us, just come here and sit and stand next to William. Even if there is a lady who's a non-Muslim, you don't have to be shy. Just come and stand here next to William. What you will get is the benefit of guidance. We're not selling something. We're not forcing anybody. We're not trying to convince somebody. We're not trying to bring him and change his life because that will please us. No, we're offering to him the same guidance that we have embraced, and that just in America, just last 10 years, more than 600,000 people have accepted, just like William. So, Brother William, you bear witness, you understand that there's nothing to be worshipped except Almighty God. And you understand that by accepting this, you mean that God has no partners, that He is supreme. And you accept that Muhammad is a prophet and a messenger, just like Jesus, like Adam, like Moses, like Abraham, like David, like Solomon, but that like Adam is the first man, Muhammad is the last prophet. You accept that? Then I want you to just say these words, because the words are for you as a testimony. You know, there's a scientist that said every sound that we make, the universe registers that sound forever. So when you say this word, we will recognize and witness, and the universe will recognize and witness. And on the day of judgment, the universe will bear witness to what you have said, and we will bear witness to what you have said. So this is for your benefit, and it's being written down just as we're standing here now. So say after me. I'm saying it in Arabic because it's a prescription. You know, when you go to the doctor, and after he examines you, he writes a prescription, right? You don't know the language he's using. It's Latin. But you trust the doctor.
Yeah. Huh. And then he sent it over to his cousin, the pharmacist, and he filled it. And you trust the pharmacist that he will do what the doctor has prescribed, right? Yeah. So I want you to trust me that when I say this Arabic words and you say after me, I'm going to translate it, but you got to trust that what I'm saying is exactly what it is, okay? Say, A'udhu.
أعوذ
بالله
بالله
من
من
شيطان
شيطان
من رجيم
من رجيم
بسم الله
بسم الله
الرحمن
الرحمن
من الرحيم
من الرحيم
لا إله
لا إله
إلا الله
إلا الله
محمد
محمد
رسول الله
رسول الله
صلى
الله
الله
عليه
عليه
وسلم
وسلم أشهد
أشهد
أن لا
إله
إله
إلا الله
وحده
وحده
لا
شريك
شريك
له
وأشهد
وأشهد
أن
محمدا
محمدا
عبده
ورسوله
صلى
الله
عليه
عليه
وسلم.
Were you Christian before?
Yes.
I was also Christian.
Yeah.
And we love Jesus, his mission, his message, and his example. We love him. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that when the Christian people accept Islam, they should say something else to be clear. And that is to say that Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of Mary, and that he is a spirit and a word from God, and that his mother is pure. You accept that? So say that after me. I bear witness.
I bear witness.
That Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
That he is.
He is.
The Son of Mary.
The Son of Mary.
And that he is a word.
That he is a word.
And a spirit.
And a spirit.
From Almighty God.
From Almighty God.
And his mother is pure.
And his mother is pure.
Amen.
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 Mashallah. Mashallah. Our brother William, he has made his transition from having no knowledge about Islam to at least saying the words of Islam. He has become a Muslim. William, by your accepting Islam, if there are any sins you committed against God, those sins have been eliminated. They've been canceled. If you had any debt with God, that debt has been canceled. But if you owe somebody else money, you got to pay it. You are the best Muslim in this house today. We ask God to guide you, to preserve you. We also ask God that he strengthen you, give you light, so when you go back to your non-Muslim family, you will have the strength to be able to keep this conviction. It will not be easy. But if you fear God, he will give you a way out. He will give you a solution. And he will provide you from somewhere which you cannot imagine. Now Muslims, I know you want to hug William. You want to say takbir and all of that. But you know what? We don't need the takbir. You can save the takbir. Reach in your pockets and take out some money. That's what I said. Reach in your pockets and take out some money and give him a gift. Maybe there's something he needs to do as a new Muslim, and he will use that gift. Maybe he will use that gift to buy some books. Maybe he'll use that gift, you understand me, to go visit his mother. Maybe he'll use that gift, you understand me, in some way that you will also share with him what he has done here tonight. And so when I give anybody shahada or pass the shahada on to them, I tell the audience, take out some money. So Muslims, that's what you do now. Take some money out, they will pass something around, they will collect it, and inshallah, they will give it to him as a gift. You understand what I say? Yes. William, this is a gift, and our Prophet, peace be upon him, he never refused any gift. You didn't accept Islam for that. But this is a sign of our recognition, and it's a contribution from us to you to help you in your struggle with Islam. I will give you my card. My administrative assistant will give you our card. So that myself, as a person holding your hand, transferring this to you, I'm responsible. Now, the brothers who are of this local organization, they are also responsible. But when you go home and wash, you know, as a celebration, and you pray, pray for me first. My name is Khalid. You remember that? Then you pray for everybody else, okay? Alhamdulillah. So William, may Allah bless you. May Allah provide you whatever you need, inshallah. This is your Muslim family. So you already have your own family, your blood family, and you rely upon them for something, and you have responsibility towards them. But now this is your Muslim family, all of the brothers and sisters here. May Allah bless you, inshallah. Muslim, say takbir. For the other non-Muslims, this is a starting point for you. Think about what we have discussed here this evening. Talk to your Muslim friend, colleague, co-worker. Read the Quran. Read about the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. And for the Muslims, think about what I said in the beginning. That when you come from your homes to come to a lecture or muhavara or some convention or whatever, think about the non-Muslims that you pass by, the ones that you work for, the ones that you work with, the ones that work in your homes and inside your places of business. Think about them. Because on the day of judgment, they will be witnesses for you or against you. I want to thank His Highness for this opportunity. I want to also thank the staff. And I want to thank all the support persons here. I want to extend my gratitude to all the people who came here from their homes, whether you got here early or late. And unfortunately, I have a plane to catch in Abu Dhabi at 2:30. So I can't fly there, unfortunately. I have to drive to Abu Dhabi. So it takes about an hour and a half. So guess what? I have to give my greetings to you. And there are a lot of you here who are like my homeboys, homegirls, whatever. But I can't hug you and all that and shake hands with you because I'll be late catching that flight. And I need to be in Nigeria to give the khutbah to Jum'ah in Lagos, Nigeria tomorrow. So I want to thank our host and ask his permission to go tonight, inshallah. You share with us, inshallah, with Brother William and the other gifts that are here, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this forum and that the next forum, that this place will be filled and that perhaps better speakers than myself will be present. And we want to thank, mashallah, not just, mashallah, the host themselves, but we want to thank His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum for his gracious and noble leadership. And we want to thank his entire family, his son, and thank, inshallah, the sponsors of this. And we are very grateful to the Department of Tourism and Commerce and Marketing. Jazakumullah khairan. We say subhanakallahu wa bihamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know that there are a lot of brothers and sisters who would like to have ask questions. Unfortunately, like we said, like the Sheikh mentioned, that he has to fly very soon, and I would like the brothers to give the opportunity for the Sheikh to make a safe and quick exit. Jazakumullah khair. The volunteers will help him out, inshallah. We do have a small talk by Brother Sohail Zubairi, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Dar al-Sharia. It's a subsidiary of Dubai Islamic Bank. If anyone who is interested to know more about Islamic banking, he's going to be giving a presentation for about 20 minutes, so you can keep, you can stay seated, inshallah, and take advantage of this lecture from one of our sponsors, the Dubai Islamic Bank, who is going to give us a presentation to Brother Sohail Zubairi. But before that, I would like you to remind you that if you haven't registered yet, you can register yourself, because we have the prize distribution. We have two Umrah packages to give away and one new iPad to give away. The new iPad, the iPad 3. We request the brothers to please don't crowd. Jazakallah khair. So there are two umrahs for the ladies and two umrahs for the gentlemen. The Department of Tourism and Commerce Marketing is giving away two umrahs, umrah packages for the ladies. I request the brothers to please be seated. Jazakallah khair. Please sit down.
Brothers, Jazakallah khair. Please sit down. Please have a seat.
As the Sheikh had requested, you can collect the money and pass on to Brother William, who has just entered into Islam. And if there is any other non-Muslim who is interested in Islam, they can come and see us. We can give you more information. We can give you the translation of the Quran for free in different languages. We have in English, we have in French, in German, in Indian, several Indian languages.